Blog Talk Radio. Shonda, hey sis, you start the show off, and we'll be right if they hear from a queen first. What's today's topic about?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Fighting the Queen's West show. This isn't going to be a long one, because more like an update show. Been mainly a little time to take off and take care of things off and offline, and you know, the queen will be back very shortly. I'll have a discussion with her further about it. But in this time, you know, the show's been down, a whole lot has been taking place. And that's what leads to the title of the show, So When Does It All End? You've had recent incidents such as the Javon Butcher madness, where he shot his girlfriend and himself, and they left, you know, young child by herself. And sure, the NFL is taking care of her to a degree, like, again, at what cost? Then you have this incident, which is not far from where I am, a woman shoplifting numerous times, and she got banned from Walmart. And she tried it again with someone else's kid in the car with her girlfriend, and they tried to run over a cop. They were shot at. She got hit in the neck. instead of going to the hospital, they went to the apartment, and that's where she died. And then you have the situation with Connecticut. And actually, I wanted to get the views and thoughts from everyone, not just from today, but as far as the next show. When does it really all end? What are your honest thoughts about everything that's been taking place since we last broadcast? What do you suggest should be done? Because there's a whole lot of answers that are not being given to these questions. It's a really confusing time right now. And I just personally, I have my thoughts and opinions about this. But if you're listening to the show, you feel free to call in at 347-884-8239. And be sure to, speak your mind with a genuine answer. But personally, I just see that not only is there a loss of conflict resolution, there's a loss of integrity. There's a loss of genuine interest within people. And it's coming out to when you're hearing about the situation with Von Butcher. It was in question about the paternity of the child. That is a mess within itself. That's a legion of talk show topics to be addressed and possibly can have to revisit. But again, to have a little girl by herself, and especially someone's going to have to sit down and explain this to her, that is going to be one unsettling burden she's going to have to deal with. Then, I just wonder. I really wonder about things nowadays because with everyone pretty much in an arms race to get in to World Star Hip Hop and all these ratchet, versions of CNN, what does it all mean anymore? This isn't a thing about depression or something like that, but it's real disappointing when you see everything that's taking place, people casting lies in themselves in the wind, and for what? And hopefully that this gunman or person remains nameless, because I agree with what Morgan Freeman mentioned about this. These people will do any and everything to be recognized as a somebody versus being dismissed as an intentional nobody. And for this measure of attention whoring, this is like outright insane. Me, myself, I'm really scratching my head at a lot of this stuff and how certain things are being handled, especially with the situation in Colorado versus what's been going on for, I want to say, more than a number of years. Personally, I believe there's a bias here. But we have a caller from the area code 626. 626, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, Ron? This is Covina, man. How you doing?
Hey, what's good, man?
Yeah, man, I'm listening to what you're saying, man. I think there's so much craziness going on, man. I try not to panic myself.
Right.
I know I work, I work in the field. I work in the field around, teens. And there's one of the things that you try to develop is like when they start going crazy, you try not to panic, try to keep your head.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like.
Yeah, I definitely.
It's just like.
That.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, especially now that everyone is scattered all over the news stations and everything like that with the situation in Connecticut, personally, do you feel that there is a seemingly intentional bias in these situations because for some reason people have made money in merchandising and calling Chicago Chirac, or you had the situation with the Gen of Six, or Trayvon Martin, Darian Albert. Why is there no tear shed or flags that have masks for these incidents? It's like another Tuesday.
Yeah, man, that's a good question. A lot of stuff is complicated. You know, it's weaved together like a spider web or something, man. It's hard to say why certain things get coverage and other things don't. I think that when a crazy guy goes up to a school and shoots up a bunch of kids, you know, that stands out. That is like, even in our society, even in the day of world star hip hop and prize fighting, you know, all these things that go on for pleasure, that really stands out because it's a situation where no one really would expect that in a school system that a bunch of 5 and 7 year olds would get gunned down. And especially like, you know, in a suburb or something. And I think the media probably doesn't cover too much when some innocent person gets shot by a random stray bullet, because I'm pretty sure it gets covered locally, but not nationally, because people almost expect that is part of our culture. It's like they don't report how much corn grew on a wheat field. I mean, on a cornfield. It's just part of our culture. When ratchet people go around shooting other people, that's almost not news.
Yeah. Right now, I brought in area code 631. And 631, what's your name and where you calling from?
Yeah, this is Joe Nickbone. How you doing?
I'm all right, about yourself?
Yeah, they actually do report how much corn is grown in a cornfield if you live in an area that grows corn. It's called a farm report. It comes every morning.
Yeah, it doesn't make national news. I was just saying.
No, it doesn't make, no.
Yeah.
Well,
hey,
Joe, I was wondering, like, what were your thoughts on the thing of, like, where everyone has everything, has a mask a week? And the situation in Colorado, but no one has done anything as far as any broader a level of concern to places like Chicago or all these incidents where men, even like Troy Davis, have been killed.
Why do you say they did not bring any level of concern?
Well, it seems like there's a national tragedy with the lives in Connecticut, but in these other incidents where people are popular, I mean, making it popular to give it a nickname, Chirac, when you had over 100 people killed within a season. Why is there a specific bias out here? What tragedy is more prevalent than the other? That's what I'm asking.
Well, anything where children are involved is going to take priority, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, it's funny because, one of the discussions that we had on one of our shows and even on Facebook is, you know, there are people in other parts of the world getting killed in mass amounts every day, you know, but I mean, every day, literally, you know, if you really read world news, you'll see it. And even more than that, America itself is killing quite a few people in a lot of these countries in mass amounts every day. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a news cycle, and a news cycle has to bring in people so that they can be advertised to. So they're going to grab and sensationalize whatever they can to bring in the lookers, you know, the viewers, so that they can sell product. It's not about, you know, one thing having priority over another. It's what sells newspapers. And if you understand that, then you understand why you see certain things in media.
Okay. Well, I'm looking to ask both of you, like, do you honestly believe that stricter laws on guns will alleviate this or make it worse?
No. Stricter gun laws have nothing to do with this. This was just pure crazy. And pure
crazy
people always find a way to make a statement, whether it be the knifing in China or whether it be beating somebody with baseball bats. This was pure crazy. You can't attach an agenda to it.
Yeah, I mean, if we were living in a different country with a different history where guns wasn't, you know, part of the Constitution and part of the flags and everything, then maybe, you know, it wouldn't be America, and it would be these type of things wouldn't happen. But this country has 400 years of killing people with guns and brutalizing. I mean, how many times has there been, you know, 20 or 30 or 50 people killed in Afghanistan or Pakistan by, you know, a U.S. drone or something? And
right.
we don't bat an eyebrow. We probably skim over it and don't even pay attention to it. But it's like the type of tragedies that other people feel every day from the U.S. Also, when it comes home to roost, of course people are going to be like, oh, you know, it's a big tragedy. But, you know, we call that guy who shot up the place a crazy murderer, you know, local terrorist, and he is. But we also should be looking at what we do to other people, where we're the terrorists and the crazies and so on and so forth. A human life is a human life, and we got to be able to recognize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a set on another show. You know, I live in Louisiana, and I met a dude once who was a pilot, and this was during the Iraq War. I'll never forget this guy, and we were just discussing. My man would take off from the base here in Louisiana and fly over to Iraq, drop a whole load of bombs, then come home and have dinner with his family. Now think about this for a minute. My man was a weekend pilot in the National Guard, and he flew bombers. So on Fridays, he would get in his plane, fly halfway across the world, drop a whole mess of bombs, then come home and be home in time for Sunday dinner. Now, can you believe that? You know, this guy's fighting a war on the weekends. The weekends. You know, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, technically he's a weekend warrior, and he's killing up a bunch of people in a whole other country on the other side of the world. Come home and have dinner with his family. Now, how obscene is that? How obscene is that?
Yeah, very.
But that's the way of the world now. You know, we live in a place where life. Well, I guess you can say it's always been like that. Life is cheap. You know, human beings are cheap. We're getting a little bit better than it used to be in the old days. Because, I mean, if you think back and you read through ancient history, they used to slaughter people on a wholesale scale. You know, look at the Crusades. Look at World War I, World War II. They were slaughtering people in the tens of thousands. And now, you know, it's a few hundred. But still, life has always been cheap. It's getting a little less cheap. But we got a long way to go.
Yeah, exactly, man.
What do you think is an alternative to what people are proposing? Some people are thinking stricter gun laws. Other people are believing that medical boards or something as far as guns should be put out. All kinds of things across the board. What do you guys propose should be done to stymie this nonsense?
Man. That's a big question, man. I don't know if you really can stop the culture that we live in. I think it's like we have you have the positives of the culture, so to speak, and you're gonna have the negatives. I don't know if you can eliminate that. I think people need to do better scrutiny on mental health control. On, you know, when it comes to buying firearms, I think that's one of the things. I mean, you know, if people are, you know, if somebody had a domestic violence charge, you know, they would not let them, you know, buy firearms. But if someone was a minor and they were, you know, in the mental hospital, as soon as they get 18, they erase those records, and that person can go out at 18 or whatever and buy an assault weapon. There really needs to be a more of a check on you know, access to firearms of that matter, because those are some real weapons of personal destruction, and you put a, you know, AR-15 or something in the hands of a crazy person, they can really do damage.
In this case, though, dude took his mom's gun, you know, so it wasn't about him buying a firearm. In fact, the last I read, and I might be wrong, and he might have corrected it, but, you know, they said dude took his mom's firearm. You know, she had it, so he took it from the home. But I would think, you know, more than anything else, to take the stigma away from mental illness and to take the barriers away from seeking help from mental illness. Because you remember, this is one of the first things that get cut whenever they have a state or federal budget. And whenever that happens, then those people go through life without the treatments they need, without the diagnosis they need, and they become a danger to themselves and society often. So my thing is put money into mental illness.
And I just brought in 843. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Man, it's T. Smitty. Calling from my couch in Phoenix because I had
Smitty.
Freaking ankle surgery. Got ankle surgery and I can't even walk, man.
Oh, man.
Oh,
hey, my mom helped me, hey, help me to the bathroom like I'm an old man and stuff. Hey, yeah. So you see how I talk about crazy people. I see how I talk about these people with these guns. So this is the thing. One, I don't think they should take away guns. My thing is that these laws are for law-abiding citizens. None of law-abiding citizens are going to do what they want to anyway, bring guns anyway.
Right.
Morgan Freeman said it best. I read the little meme that he had. We keep giving these guys all the celebrity. And a lot of these people are doing it to be martyred. And that's the thing. And I believe when we start giving these people the shine, it's kind of like when you watch those football games, someone streak on the field, you go streaking, they never show a person.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. We talk about the victims. We don't care about the shooter. Fuck him. Whatever. If he put him away in prison, do what you do. But don't be giving him no shine. Because I don't care what problems he may have had. There's still no excuse to go walk up and kill kids. I'm like, if he's so bad, you walk up on these hoods, one of these trailer parks out here, it's a ground pole to shoot them. But we keep giving these people all the shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I care is that, you know, make sure the dude wasn't black when he, you know, whoever went crazy. You know, I don't really care about, you know, what his name is, what he looked like. I just want to make sure he wasn't no brothers when he went crazy.
Yeah. Hey, y'all know what? No, there was a brother. That one ain't no digging around his past, seeing what happened. But he'll be on trial right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is another interesting situation where you have a disparity as far as, like, with a criminal. Get to the point where how they report the news is how you can tell that person's race or ethnicity. And, you know, for some, they'll say very little. So, you have an idea which ethnic background this person is. Or they're giving fine details to where this guy, like, has a library book out, or he has missed two child support payments and everything, his address, all that stuff. You already know exactly who that person is. So you guys basically saying that the media have a – actually promotes this in a slide, right?
Because it sells newspapers, man. You know, it goes back to what sells. You know, but what's interesting, too, is when you look at, like, kids, like in the 20s, you know, black kids shoot each other. White kids, they shoot everybody. And you have to wonder about that. You know, like, what's going on there? You know, black kids in the hood, it's usually a one-on-one or one-on-two, and they'll shoot each other. You know, but where's all this anger coming from these kids, number one? And number two, if they're this angry, how come nobody detects it?
That's
you know what I think? This is what I think. People don't talk to their kids anyway. Let's just be honest with this. I'm going to reference one of James Ward's movies. I know it's kind of a little off, but it's a good thing to talk about. He had this one called Dear Daddy. And one of the girls was just bawling her eyes out by her father. And the mama didn't know the girl felt that bad about it. And so these kids got issues. Like what I'm saying, these kids got issues. And these parents don't know what's going on with their kids. They don't know what it's like. If the kid walk out with a different T-shirt on, no, they ain't bought it. They won't question it. You know, just or have a regular conversation. have an open line of communication. Hey, I know it may sound stupid. I know it may sound embarrassing, but I'm here for you. It's like Rona. It's like every time we show going to these kids are scared to tell their mom they got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They're scared to say they might be pregnant. But it's just like there's no open line of communication here. But I ain't going to lie. There are some people just crazy, you know. But the thing is, more often than not, it ain't the video game's fault. There's always been violent video games. There's always been violent movies. You know, Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, came out in the 60s, and they got broke off. But you see everybody shooting up schools. There's a problem here, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I didn't want to hit you up. But I'm saying, a lot of times it is like a crazy young white person. You know, the guy that shot up at the college, he wasn't white, but he was like a young person. Or the guy that shoots, the guy that shoots up at the mall. It's usually young people. Even in the hood, it's usually young people going around and shooting. And it's just something about the young people. They either don't have hope or they're crazy. And when you're young and it's crazy, you just do young crazy stuff. And today's society, people just have access to, to weapons of personal destruction. They just go around and can just, kill each other. And I don't really think, working in the field that I work in with, the mental health field, I don't really think that programs or something is going to fix those people. People aren't, from my experience, a lot of times those people aren't fixable. It's just in between freedom and jail or freedom and the grave or freedom and the nut house or something. There's not much fixing.
Uh-huh.
It's like you have to recognize who these people are, that they're dangerous, and then treat them as a potential danger. And a lot of times the mental health field, there's a lot of people that got, they got careers and, social work and all this stuff, and it's just a money-making field for them. Nobody's getting fixed. It's just a way of getting revenue from the state to somebody's, personal pocket. It's better to treat these people as potential danger, and society needs to just be aware and be protective. Don't think about it. You're going to fix these people.
Before you guys finish, I'm going to bring in 402. 402, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Black Man 37 calling out of Houston.
Hey, what's going on, Black Man?
Hey, man, just trying to hang in there.
Every week you call from New City, I tell you. Black man be ducking along, man. One day in Charlotte, next thing you know, it's Philly. Next thing you know, it's Houston. I'm messing with you, bro. How's it going?
It's going all right, man.
Since your brand new group, Black Man, it's like, what are your thoughts on the situation that took place in Connecticut? And do you feel there's a certain, a slight or intentional bias often, tragedies
that's happening at the plate? To me, I was listening to a psychologist talking on WGN, that station out of Chicago, Illinois. And he was mentioning that he believed part of the problem was social media, the fact that people don't interact with one another no more, the fact that a lot of people are just isolated. And I kind of sat back and I thought about it after all the things he was saying, because remember, the community, it used to be where we were communities, where people actually talked to each other, got to know each other, you knew each other's kids, you knew what was actually understanding how everybody's household was kind of running. The kids all played together, the kids didn't always feel like they were isolated. And I think that kind of has something to do with it, too, because a lot of us are just isolated now. Everybody's more focused on Facebook, on their phones, or they're more onto their phones and social media than they are trying to communicate with one another. And I think that's one. I think the other part could be mental illness. Another part could be that the influence of death. I mean, if you look around, you see and hear about death every single day. Somebody is shooting up somebody. Some kid is shooting up a bunch of kids in a school. Some of us are in the community just shooting each other. wife shooting husband, husband shooting wife. I mean, it's gotten to the point where every day it's just death. You don't really know if you're going to even come home sometimes nowadays. You walk out that door, you may not come home. And
right.
I believe it's the influence that and the hatred that we have. I mean, it's like literal hatred, and especially when you talk about us as people of color, as black folks. I mean, we have so – I think a portion of us, or a good portion of us, just have this internal hatred that is just out, it's out of the damn park. That's why some of these young folks, they go out here and they kill each other because they hate themselves.
Yeah, if you look at the social media – like, for an example, like World Star Hip Hop, and you'll see how it's just such an entertainment culture to just, you know, pull out your phone and just watch girls hitting each other or watching people knock each other out. It's like MMA on the street, MMA on TV. The culture is just glorifying violence. Let's beat each other up, knock each other out, and put it on you know, YouTube or World Star Hip Hop and get some fame.
Yeah, because they do that on Dime Wars too. They do that in Dime Wars too. They show a lot of the fighting. I think white kids just have this. They are just they're so disconnected, and you sit there as a person of color, you kind of figure out, okay, they live in a nice community, they have beautiful homes, they have access to money and resources. They have access to guns. We know that. That's not a question. And you sit there and you got all this opportunity. You have privilege because you're white, because this is what's going on in America. And you just sit there and you just shake your head as to what the hell was wrong. What was the problem? You have a lot of things a lot of poor people don't have. What is this disconnect?
But I got to check you on something, because you said something about isolation. And you talked about social media and phones. You're kind of contradicting yourself, because right now you have access to more people, and people are communicating more than they ever have at any point in human history, right? Any point. You could pick out any period in history, and we're actually interacting more. Now, we're interacting more digitally as opposed to person to person, because digitally you can reach out and touch many more people in the space of a period of time than you can in person to person. But in those days that you're talking about, we were localized in our communities, in our neighborhood, in our blocks. I know I grew up in New York, so you didn't know what was happening across town, and you didn't hear about it. But now all of those barriers are gone. And so what happens in the next block, the next borough, the next city, the next town, the next state, the next country, all is available to you instantaneously. So we're not isolated. Don't even go there. We're not isolated in any way, shape, or form. We are actually overconnected.
Well, as I stated, that this is what I heard a psychologist say, but it did make me think that maybe could be a contributing factor. And, yeah, we may be connected as far as online, but you know, interactions with another human being in person, it's a little bit more of a, for me, I would think that would be more of a stronger connection versus you sitting on a computer or on a phone when you really don't actually know that person, where you can't sit actually face-to-face with them and have a conversation where you can really actually vibe with them and actually study the person that you're speaking to. I mean, if you're on a for example, you know, if you're texting somebody, they could text you something and you may not actually understand exactly what they meant. You could take something that they said and think they were insulting you. Whereas you're in front of a human being, another person, you can get a real good understanding real quick. Okay, they didn't mean that in the way that it sounded. You know, you'll know real quick if somebody's insulting you versus when you just online or on text, when somebody writes something, you can misinterpret that very easily, very quickly.
Yeah, so, but don't knock kids. They're doing both, because kids are FaceTiming and they're Skyping every day, all day. So, you know, don't knock the fact that they're just texting. It goes way beyond that, way beyond
that. Yeah, I think
with social media.
The
whole thing, typing is like, in some ways, you kind of get that tangible sense of seeing and being with that person, but that's kind of like a lazy way of interacting because a lot of us play touch football or basketball or anything where we were able to physically interact with each other, like see body language, like genuine body language,
right,
and learn to socialize as children and people. But now,
right,
okay, given that we have a camera and things like that, we don't get an opportunity to really see what this person's about. You can still be any and everything online, period. You can still
True.
Play a persona, even though you have an image out there, and you could, like, turn to a wall and not show the person the entire mess you have in the house. That's
right.
What you do in a degree as far as with a Facebook account, Twitter, or any social media. So certain walls have been taken down, but a lot of walls in return have been put up.
Right, right.
Worse.
I think in some ways it can amplify either popularity or isolation, because in one sense, you know, it gives brothers like us opportunity to know people, you know, that's in Houston or Phoenix or LA or Chicago. We can know each other. We get on the line and we talk every week. But on the other hand, it can also give crazy people that same kind of access. They can go online,
right,
and they can research, find out how to make bombs or what guns to buy or what stuff, and that can also amplify their craziness to get more information to do more damage.
Yeah, true.
So let me ask you guys this, you know, and you guys can answer it freely. Like, with everyone looking to put in a scapegoat, they'll probably blame us on Grand Theft Auto or violent games or
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Like, in a lot of these, like, what do you feel is the real instant that happens here? Because I personally believe that it's the breakdown of the family unit.
Right.
Where, you know, where we grew up, we didn't have doors closed. It was like, look, what are you doing? I'm more involved. I'm going to that PTA meeting. Stop changing your grades. I'm going to kick your ass. I mean, just that type of interaction that we used to have, and then we had crime back then, but it wasn't widespread as it is now. Just what?
I would disagree with that, because you had a lot of organized crime back then, which you really don't have now.
And the internet, too, people. You got to remember also, this is the information age. More stuff's being reported now. You remember, like, back in the day when we was kids, if that something happened at night, you had to wait till the morning to see it.
Right.
Now
right.
It's instantaneous. It's like we got YouTube, stuff be on YouTube instantly. You got people don't read a newspaper. I tell you, when you read breaking news, Twitter. People break news on Twitter all the time. We talk about straight reporters. They'll post a link up and everything like that. So that's the way the stuff is going now. It's quicker, it's faster. So, you know, spouses have been killing each other for years. Now that we got all these different cable networks, these internet sites, internet newspapers, stuff like that, it's starting to become more reported now. I just, my opinion on that.
Yeah, we used to get news back in the day about 3 hours a day, 3 or 4 hours a day. You got it in the morning, you got it at noon, and you got it at 5 or 6 p.m. I remember this as a kid, looking at it on one of those big old black and white TVs that you had to change the channel with the pliers. You know those. You kind of had the hanger stuck in there in the antenna. Your grandma, the remote was your grandma telling you, boy, change that channel. So anyway, you got your news 3 or 4 hours a day. That was it. If you missed it, and you got it at 11 or 10, 11. But if you missed it, that was it. You didn't have an opportunity to get that news until the next news cycle, which was probably the next day or later that evening. But now you got 24 hours. Yeah, TV went off, right. And now you got 24-hour news cycles. They got to fill it with something. You know, in order to justify their existence, they got to fill it with something. So what do? You put in the most sensational stuff that'll get people to watch your program. Fox News is famous for that. They're famous for, you know, reporting little things and turning little stories into big stories in order, you know, to get people to watch and they can be advertised to. So, you know, a lot of people aren't even aware, you know, that they're being manipulated that way. They just follow along with it. And now you got entertainment news. Oh, my God, you got people force-fed on that.
And sports news.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, yeah. If you talk to the average sister, she's going to talk about what entertainers doing what, who said what, who's wearing what. And I look at him and say, is that all you got to say? Tell me more than Scandal and Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know, you got to have a bigger life than that. But unfortunately, that's a whole other topic.
Well, that'll be next week. Scandal will be next week.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for you to do your show, Smitty.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I was wondering, like, someone mentioned about this is supposed to be the age of information, but in the era of smartphones and tablets and everything, it seems like there's a lot more becoming progressively stupid.
Absolutely.
Combination of both. Hey, you're going to have stupid, and you're going to have the smart. Because, you know, how should I say this? It's like what? Now. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll hear you guys.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I remember as a kid, we had an Encyclopedia Britannica. I think it was 26 volumes. Now, you do a click now, and you find your information there. Hey, but it's like you go to the news store. Even back when I was a kid, you go to the news rack, you still had all your stupid magazines there, too. There's going to be both. It's about what you choose to take in. And I don't care if I watch World Star. Hey, I like dabbing a World Star every now and then for a good laugh. But you have to have balance. And that's the problem.
I'm bringing up. That's all. Right, go ahead.
Well, I'm done.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Do you believe, and this is my personal belief, I don't know if it's shared or not, but do you believe this is like a emotional Trojan horse in a sense to usher in something with a darker, ulterior motive?
Could be. Because, you know, a lot of this stuff sells religion, and I don't mean faith, and I don't mean spirituality. A lot of this stuff drives religion.
Are you saying that all this stuff is somehow in the hidden hand or something?
Well,
think about it, recent cases?
With a lot of these incidents, like, you're going to have people who are more emotionally charged. So they're not going to look at certain things or legislation or certain parameters that, you know, are going to, you know, alleviate this. They're going to go by their feeling and gut of remorse and anger. That they're like, you know, go ahead and do it anyway. But in the end, they may regret it going along with it.
You mean like the Patriot Act?
The NDAA type act, where people are like pretty much voting with their eyes wide shut.
Right.
So, what are your thoughts on this, fellas?
But it's blinding because it's one view. You know, they're not really taking into account of what a lot of the people really want. You know, the legislation that probably be passed with the gun lobby, they're probably make a small adjustment, but it's basically going to go back to what they believe. It's not going to change what they believe. It's not going to change them from selling these weapons. It's not going to change them trying to help stop the flood of illegal guns being sent out here. Because they got to make money.
Right.
So as long as that money flows, nothing's going to change because the power, the ones who really empowered, they don't care. As long as it goes along with what they want, things will stay the same. And the religious nuts, not the real true people who care, who believe in God. I'm talking about the nuts. They're going to be all for their agenda too. Because they're going to want, they want to try, they got to get their piece of the pie. They got to get their money too. That's my belief on it.
So, it's like a casualties for collateral type of deal.
Pretty much. Until the people decide, you know, enough is enough. And they start putting their foot in their rear.
Anyone else?
Well, yeah, I'm starting to see a lot of people talk about there was prayer in the schools. And I'm like, are you serious? You think prayer in the schools is going to stop this when it can't even stop a molestation in the church? I don't think so. So, you know, there's a lot of agendas being put forth that are attaching to these tragedies. And what's sad is that in the heat of the moment, people will follow these agendas. And like you said, you know, they'll put their weight and their power behind it. And then it turns into a nightmare scenario. It turns into a scary scenario.
There we go.
So you just have to I think, take a step back, take a deep breath, and understand that it is what it is for that particular instance. It's not a chain of events. It's not the end of the world. These are not the end times. You know, there's no reason to act stupid, unless, of course, you're a Mayan. And you know, there's no reason to act stupid here.
Yeah, but they're always proposing that teachers should have guns. That's the other proposal. Teachers
crazy,
should all carry guns. So if that ever happens again, they could pull out their 38 or their 38 and shoot the victim. But I say, even if you did that, what if they accidentally shoot somebody else?
Right.
And trying to hit that person. You know, a target doesn't stay. You know, if anybody shot a gun, and you know this piece, Smitty, because you know you've been in the service. And I don't know if any other brothers have been in the service on the line. But targets don't stay in one place. A human target moves. So if you don't know how to aim correctly, you don't know how to adjust to hit that target, you can actually hit and kill somebody else. And then bullets don't actually go and hit a target. They can ricochet through a body and through off walls and metal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hit somebody else. So
what I'd be worried about is if we were all carrying guns and you suspect somebody was a nut and they did something with a gun and you pull out your gun, then somebody would suspect that you're a nut and pull out their gun, and then somebody else would suspect the other person is a nut and pull out their gun, and they say, no, like the Reservoir Dogs and Quentin Tarantino movie, and everybody just shooting each other.
Well, I added that question in there because I wanted people's thoughts if they knew that the Department of Homeland Security purchased 1.2 million rounds of ammunition.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, I saw that too. It was I don't know if it was target practice or whether is it Full Metal Jacket or hollow points. That'll tell you if they're using it for target practice or for shooting someone.
Right.
Okay, guys, I'm going to bring in 706. 706, what's your name?
Hey. Yo, what's up?
What's up?
Hey. I'm doing all right. Just I'm reading up on some stuff.
What a hole that, eh?
Man, please.
What's going on, man?
They're taking out your child support chest. That's what they're taking out your child support chest. What are you doing?
Hey, yeah. That's why we're rubber, dog. But go ahead. What's going on, man?
Well, you know, I just want to promote Hidden Colors 2. Just came out on DVD, so I recommend checking out. Guess Christmas gift, just letting y'all know. Get y'all mental game right. And what y'all talking about today?
We are talking about, so when does it all end? Like, we're talking about the situation that happened in Connecticut and, you know, people glorifying the whole thing about Chirac and all this madness going on. You have the whole thing about Jevon Butcher, which we haven't even talked about yet, about, you know, the whole murder-suicide situation basically took place in concern about the paternity status of the daughter. And then you have the chick who got shot, you know, with her and her three friends for shoplifting at Walmart and, you know, the whole controversy with all that. So I'm just, you know, I mean, we're just a show about when all the madness going on, what's happening and then what could be the end result and what should we do from this point on.
Well, you know, Paul Moon said best, it's the end of the world. You better forget it. It's over. Or I know what I'm talking about. Because all this craziness going on, people getting shoot. Like, people getting shot for no reason, but now it's like he was shooting, like killing people now just to get off now. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy in the first place, but now it's like getting ridiculous. And I'm saying that this is what I think when I hear about this. Where is protection at? And I ain't talking about police, but where is social protection at? They just go wide open just shooting people.
I don't think that the police or something could be everywhere. I don't know.
I'm talking about the social protection. I'm talking about the police, about social protection. Like you or me. Like different people.
So this is a wreck?
like policing like ourselves. Like that kind of, like that way.
I mean, if it was possible, if somebody had a firearm and you seen somebody, you know, run through the mall and shooting, then maybe you could maybe try to shoot that person and take them out. I don't know, but my theory is that if you shoot the person who's running around, somebody see you shoot that person and think you're the one that's the terrorist and shoot you. So I don't know, if that's going to fix some things. Especially if you're a black person, you see somebody white going crazy, would you pull out a gun and shoot him? Then the white people going to see, the black dude over here, he's the one that's shooting.
And before you guys go on, I'm bringing in area code 202.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I just listen, man. That's all.
What's up?
If
people start shooting, people are going to run for cover, man. You know, let's get real. Most people are going to bail. About 95 people are going to split. Maybe 2 or 3 people are going to be a hero. So that's just my take on it, you know. But, you know, we do live in an open society. There ain't much we can do, man. Somebody wants to get a gun and start shooting up something. I mean, we just live in an open society. And these things are going to happen every 5 or 10 years or so. There really ain't much we can do about it.
Yeah, I don't think you can say all of a sudden we're going to turn into a utopia. That would be very un-American to be a utopia. We are the America of kill or be killed. This is the Wild Wild West or the colonial days. We have 400 years of killing people innocently.
You can't flip it. You know what? People don't realize this. We have our crime rate is probably at a 50-year low right now. So I think the media sensationalized everything, but crime has been going on for the last 50 years. And we are at our lowest level, man. I'm trying to tell you. Also, the study they did, 95% of every people have never seen an actual crime, violent crime. Most people have never seen a violent crime in their life. Like 95-97% of people never seen a violent crime ever. Think about it. How many people on this show have ever actually seen a violent crime other than a fist fight? Think about that.
I have.
You have? Like what? I've never seen a violent
crime.
Did you do the armed robbery?
I was trying to buy a donut and some dude walked in and tried to rob the store. They did rob it. Everybody jump on the floor, you know. I just walked out the door.
Well, I've never seen a violent crime before. I mean, like a shooting. I've never seen one. I started thinking about that. You know where I've seen all this shit at is on TV, and the media, and when I read about it. But in actuality, man, it's pretty safe, man. You know, in this country, you know, it's just the media always has to feed us this shit, you know. And I think the media plays us a disservice. It makes people fearful of each other. It makes blacks fearful of whites, whites fearful of blacks, and all that. And that's why I quit watching so much fucking TV, because of that, you know. I kind of tuned myself out of that shit, you know. Because I know the media is just feeding me a bunch of shit. And I just turn it off, and I start to talk to people more on the street. And that's how I just start to deal with things now. And so, I don't know. That's just my take on it.
Well, Double Up, I partially agree with you about the news, because a lot of it is more or less mental masturbation. But when you say about the whole thing about violent crimes, I've been in, I've been robbed twice.
Really? Where?
In Indianapolis. Been robbed twice. Seen, I was down the street from a drive-by. Been shot at. And, seen like
shut up.
Oh, wild out brawl. To where
you about to get a lot of pussy down, Ronnie.
That stuff actually happens. Not like something you want to be part of, but that the news, they usually get the tail end of the situation. It's just the people who've been in it. Either very few are very fortunate to tell about it. So a lot of it, some of them use a sensationalist spin to it. but in actuality, there is that stuff that happens even now. Like, that incident took place at the Walmart. That was, like, that was about 5 miles away from me.
You mean that sister that got shot stealing at Walmart?
Yeah. Since we're heading to that, that's the situation where this chick, she was, like, doing petty theft so much that she got banned from Walmart. And she wanted to blame it on her being, you know, a part of Hurricane Katrina. She moved out here. And she was a mother, but her kids weren't in the car. Some of her girlfriends, two of her other girlfriends, had kids in the car. They went and stole petty items and meat from Walmart. They had security come after them. They got in the car. They tried to run him over. He shot the vehicle. She got to the hospital. They moved to the apartment. That's where she died. And you're having people
saying,
that's
on her. That's on her. Yeah.
And
that's
they
on her.
And you have people, you know, I agree with that. They said people, I mean, they said the security guard should have shot the tires or something like that. But then when you look at it all,
yeah,
what is it that, I mean, in your respective terms, fellas, like, what is it that you saw in the situation in your own eyes?
Me? You know what? It's something I told my son. And this is something my dad told me, okay? Never put yourself in a position to get fucked, all right?
All right.
Okay? She put herself in a position to get fucked, and she got fucked, all right? That's what happened to that woman, all right? And that shit was all on her. She shouldn't have been doing the shit she was doing, and that's just my take on it. I'm sure he could have not shot her, but, hey, when you do shit like that, you can't expect people to react a certain way. Sometimes people don't react the way you think they're going to react. It's just like getting into a fist fight with somebody. Sometimes fist fights turn into motherfucker blowing your brains out. I mean, that does happen, right?
You know what, man? And it thanks me. No, thing is, a couple of things on this. First, my first inclination is I'm going to save my bacon. And first things first. Second, she should have been stealing in the first place. That's the part that everybody wants to say, oh, should have done that. All right, okay. And also, if it shot her tires, the car may have gone out of control, killed her anyway, and may have killed that security guard. If you're trying to run me over, you're trying to kill me.
That's right. And he was acting like a cop. I mean, probably his cop shit kicked in on his ass, right? I mean, even though he's working security, he was probably thinking like a cop at that time, right? And, you know, and like I said, never put yourself in a position to get fucked. This shit was on her, man.
And that's a problem with our people. I'm talking about our people right now. When we talk about, well, that's all she did. Should have been doing it in the first place, especially knowing you're black. You can't put yourself in these positions knowing you're black. And I'm like, we know a lot of people have had it rough, you know. A lot of people have. But you still should not steal, because if you go to jail, chances are your black butt won't be able to get a job then. So
what was she stealing anyway? Some weed? Probably was stealing some weed, some makeup and shit.
Well, here's the thing. It's like with the list, I go over the list, but a lot of it was real petty, and you look at it like you died for it. And the second thing is similar to the whole incident where, you know, the bus driver in Cleveland and numerous other incidents, it seems like there's an intentional need for accepting copies. Genuine facts that led to the situation that happened. Like, where that woman on the bus put her hands on and spit on a guy who was doing his job. So, in turn, she didn't like. Or this situation where you got someone who intentionally did a crime that got them banned from a place, but they went back anyway, ignoring the safety and welfare of the children and, you know, their girlfriends, you know, supposed to be looking out for each other. They got all together like it was a knockoff version to Set It Off, and they end up losing one of their friends, you know, with that situation. What is the need for excessive coddling when facts are, like, putting out there, like, this person was not as good as you say they were?
I understand what you're saying. Look, man, I don't feel no sympathy for that woman. I mean, she shouldn't have got shot, but she should have been stealing, and, you know, fuck her, man. Why are we defending these motherfuckers, hood rats, anyway? I mean, some people just need to be out of the gene pool anyway, to be honest.
If they're white, would we care? Be honest, let's be honest. Huh? Would black folk be talking about this, that girl is white?
Well, no. If it's a white woman, it'd be on CNN and shit, you know, and it'd be all ESPN and all this old shit. If it's a black girl, no one gives a fuck. But, you know, at some point, man, we as black folks have to quit playing victim and just quit letting these, you know, we have to quit playing victim and quit doing dumbass shit all the time, you know?
Well, yeah, but, you know, honestly, you know, yeah, she shouldn't have, I mean, she shouldn't have got shot like that, you know. I understand the cop is in cop mode, but my understanding, if you are being, really being threatened, and then you, you're supposed to shoot to kill. And a lot of times, sometimes those cops get overzealous. Sometimes
yeah, but
they do.
You know what, man? You know what? You know, I hate to say this, man, but you know, Asians never have this fucking problem. You know, how can we always have these problems with the police? Always black male or black woman having these confrontations with the police. I never hear Asians having these fucking problems at all. You know, we always seem to always have these fucking problems as black folks. I don't understand why that is. You know, why? Why always us? Why do we always get shot 30 times and shit over some dumb shit? Okay, why is it always us? How come I never hear an Asian man getting shot 30 times for stealing a sandwich or some shit? How come it's always a black male or black woman? Why is that?
No, go ahead.
I think these people are tired of our asses, man. I think society's getting tired of blacks, man. I think they're getting tired of us, bro. My take. You know, I mean, you're tired of our shit, bro. And just, I think, as a black man or a black woman, man, we have to be smarter. Quit putting ourselves in the position to get fucked. Quit doing dumbass shit and having these white people shoot us like fucking dogs out here. You know, we got to be smarter than what the fuck we are.
But what about
yes,
the
sir.
Times where we get shot and we haven't done anything stupid?
When's that? When was that?
Case in point, Omaha, where I'm from. Omaha, Nebraska. I'll give you an example.
Double up, look at Sean Bell.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You look at the situation of Sean Bell. You look at
Sean Bell.
And even personally,
yes, sir, it's waiting,
right. Show profiling, when I was pulled over on the highway and I had three cop cars and had like about four or five cops trying to search my vehicle for supposed drugs when I was just going to, you know, see my uncle in Fort Wayne. All these different instances, or the guy that got hung, I mean, like dragged behind a truck on a dirt road. And when people didn't do any things out there, you got people who are getting lynched and murdered for no reason. So it's
lynch.
Not about, I mean,
lynch.
Granted,
you say lynch.
There are some
you say lynch,
who,
right?
Well, granted, there
yeah.
are people who do some things out there that, you know, get them in a situation that they're killed. But there's a lot of times that people are senselessly murdered. Here. So it's not about just, you know, we have a propensity for ratchet stuff. That's
yeah.
a whole different subject in itself.
Right. Right, because my
yeah,
brother got
I
done that way. I got profiled going, I was walking to my apartment a couple of years, like 2 or 3 years back. And they were looking for some kid. And a cop stops me. He runs all the way across a field to stop me. Questioned me. And then he gives me my ID back and he says, yeah, well, you know what? You do look like him. And walked off.
Well, how come? I got a question, man. How come I've never had these problems? How come my sister and my three brothers never had these fucking problems? None of us been to prison. None of us been to jail. How come we never had this problem? How come I don't have any warrants? I don't have any probation, never been to prison. Now, why is that? And my sisters and brothers are the same way. Now, I'm just curious.
You haven't been
that?
In that. I guess you just are one of the fortunate ones that never had to go through that.
But
that's why
that
I say
really,
what I say, because that does not happen. I mean, we get profiled. I've been done
yes,
it. Who? I've had family members that have done it. Ronan just said he's been profiled. Some
well,
boys have been just shot because they thought they were committing crimes. Bell ain't the only one. What about Aluima? He got plenty
well,
of stuff in his rectum.
Okay, then I'll go back to my original question. How come it's always us brothers that always seem to have these same problems? How come these agents don't have these same problems that we're having? Why is that?
Because you don't hear about them having the problems in a mass number like you
okay.
do us.
Okay,
but
why
it
aren't African?
Say that it doesn't happen. It happens.
I have a question. Why aren't African men having these problems? Of African to live in America, why aren't they having these problems that we're having? Why is that?
Here's the whole thing. You're speaking from.
Yeah,
Amadou Diallo was an African immigrant, and he got shot. He was just pulling
Thank
out his
you.
Wallet to show his ID.
Thanks,
yeah.
He wasn't
and
the only
look,
African either.
The whole thing is doubled up. You're speaking
here?
From inside
yeah.
your bubble. Of your choice.
No, I'm not. I don't live in a bubble. I live in Baltimore, fucking Maryland. You're outside
no,
of it.
No,
what I'm trying to say is this. Look, here's what I'm trying to say is this. How come we keep having these incidents where we're having these conversations with the police? Why are we black men continually have these conversations with the police, put ourselves in a position to get shot? That's the problem I'm having. Why are we continually having these incidents and these confrontations? That's the heart of the matter that we're not getting at. Why?
We're trying to answer the question.
No. As a black man, you have to ask yourself, why is that? My take is that maybe because we're committing a lot of crimes and doing a lot of nonsense out here, causing police to have a heightened fear of us. People are afraid of us, man. Maybe we should lower the temperature
Double
down
up.
On what on.
Double
no, let him finish. Maybe we should calm down on what we're. I'm a black man too. Maybe we should just calm down what the fuck we're doing. Quit acting so fucking crazy out here. Quit doing all this fucking crime, and maybe the temperature will go down, and we can have all these fucking incidents with these police forces. And I have sons too. Okay, I tell them the same shit. Never put yourself in a position to get fucked. Don't be playing around with the criminal justice system. Don't be. You know, I tell them, look, man, these you know, there are people against our asses out here that want to see us in prison, want to see us on drugs, want to see us fucked up. I tell my son this: don't buy into their stereotypes and don't play along with this shit, okay? Because there's people that hate our black asses out here. As a black man, I'm not going to sit in a white man's jail. I'm not going to be on probation. I'm not going to be on parole. I'm not going to give this white man shit. He's not locking my ass up. He can lock up all you niggas. All you niggas can go to jail. I'm not going to jail. I'll be the last nigga in this country, all right? I'll be the last nigga standing. I'm not sitting in these white boys' jails ever. Not now, not ever. All right? I refuse to go there. All right?
Kind of hit the pause button on that because, again, you have an individual among many who are speaking inside a bubble. A lot of stuff that happens to people who don't expect it to happen.
Hello?
It's just realistic that, you know, you have individuals who will pick and choose their targets. It doesn't matter what pedigree you're from, what, you know, what standing, your education, all that mess. These situations tend to happen outside. Now, what we don't know about as far as with, you know, what happens in the other ethnic communities, it's what we don't know about. A lot of stuff is handled a certain way back then. We don't know. But to assume that just because of the ratchet few or many nowadays, it doesn't speak well about us as individuals. There are some who can just be doing their job as fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, but they're at the right place at the wrong time. So we just can't sit to a blanket statement like that.
You know what? I'll say this. I had a click of a mom kept calling me, but the thing is, what Double Up was saying, the problem is that we as black people allow them to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't put political pressure on local leaders to fix this. It's like, okay, you may have the police chief who's over that cop. Let's say Sean Bell, for example. That cop who killed him should have been fired. And if you don't want to fire him, guess what? You got the police chief to call for his head. Police chief don't go out there. You don't vote for that mayor next term. We don't put political pressure on these powers to be either. Now, it's okay speaking about a blog talk, but at the same time, those people in those cities, are they going to put political pressure? Like those people in Florida where Trayvon Martin got killed, are they going to put political pressure on those people there to fix things? They're not. And that's part of the problem, because they know they can get away with it.
Well, they can get away with it because they have the economics together, and they're unified in their stance. Whenever black folks decide to get that together, then that what they have to say and their voice will have a little base in it. Other than that, there's a few other elements that are needed. But again, a lot of the cries and complaints are going to go unheard until we get those
mm-hmm.
correct.
True.
Even, yeah.
And it's not that he's made inside his bubble, and he may not experience that, but it doesn't mean that a lot of us haven't experienced those type of situations.
Right.
And what he's also trying to explain to him, he has to also understand that they have also done studies to where what it came out is that a lot of times white males are very fearful of black males. A lot of times they are, for whatever reason. And when you fear somebody and you have a gun or any type of weapon, that type of fear that you have that they may do something, you have that thought that I got to do something to them first, or I've got to put a lot more pressure on them to make sure that what I fear is not going to become more of a problem to me, so I can pull out my gun as a police officer and shoot you three times in the head and say, oh, well, you know, I thought he had a gun. I thought he was going for a weapon.
Right.
So that kind of explains part of the problem. Yes, sir.
Oh, was this black man that was speaking?
Yeah, it was.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know you'll be living in Utah next week. I'm messing with you, but this thing, when you were talking, you got me thinking. You know how everybody hating on the gays and stuff? But look, but like, I'll use an example. You say fag on TV, remember the NBA playoffs, when Kobe and Joe Kenoa say fag?
Yes,
they
sir.
They raise all kinds of hell, and they didn't take no for an answer. That's
right.
My biggest beef with us is that we don't take no for an answer. We get, you know, like Rono was saying, we're not unified financially unless the new Jordans come out. You know, we're not unified together. I'm not saying unified the people, everybody got to join in. I'm talking about cutting the dead weight, you know. But at the same time, we're not unified for anything that's tangible unless it's Jesus. You know, so I feel like that we have to not take no for an answer. It's like these cops say, every time a cop kills a black person, I ain't talking about the ones who are doing wrong. I'm talking about the innocent ones. What happened? They suspended. They still getting paid. Why the fuck are we allowing that to happen? They should not be having a job. And those people above them should not have jobs and let that keep going on. That was just my thoughts on that.
No, but you're right. You're right, T, because I remember hearing some brothers from New York talk about, I guess, a certain part of the community where the homosexuals, where the gays were all hanging out and the police were giving them hell. And then the gay community got together and they said, that was enough. You're not going to be putting your hands on us and you're not going to be screwing with us anymore. And they put a stop to that mess. When there are certain groups that know we're going to put an end to it, and they're going to organize and put an end to it. And that's it. You won't have that problem no more. And that's the same thing we got to do. Because this stuff is starting to get to a point where I think we're starting to see the times that our grandfathers saw. That's my belief. Because
hey, can I ask Ronan a question?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ronan, got a question for you. You know, since you say you got shot at and all that, did your inbox explode yet with chicks that you got swag?
Yeah.
I'm messing with you, man. Oh, he been shot at. Let me holler at him.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, people don't see things for what they really are. Some have the blessing to not experience certain things. So they're gonna see it for where they see it. If they've never been in it, they can't really talk about it accurately, unlike Rick Ross. But when we Now it talks about situations about, like, especially going on to this Javon Butcher thing where he shot his girlfriend, and it was an argument at 8 in the morning at her mother's house. He shot her dead in the house 9 times. He kissed her. He went to the Arrowhead Stadium, you know, talked to the GM and the coach that thanked him for the opportunity, and then when the police came, he shot himself in the head. And coming out to where it was an argument over paternity of the child, or actually whose child was it. So, gentlemen, what are your honest thoughts about this situation in turn?
I think that a lot of brothers in the past probably did that type of thing where if they found out, well, see, nowadays I think is you can actually find out. So maybe it was a situation where he could have found out and she had to reveal it and he went crazy. Or who knows? I don't even know. Has that been established? Is it was something about paternity?
Nah, the mama tried to take it back. But let's be honest here. It came out. And the thing is, I feel like, one,
he was too young anyway to be trying to talk about having a family anyway. And he should be living life up. And also, I feel like let's be honest here. There should be a paternity test every live birth anyway. Because I tell you what also what people say, you hear all the time about black men not being there for their kids, being deadbeats, being losers, whatever.
Right.
And then you got the man said, okay, I got a kid. I'm going to take care of my kid and do right by my kid. To find out it isn't his. And a man made $2 million a year. All right, yeah, he made good. But the thing is, the life would have been straight for her. But what happens? You know, I just feel like that. I felt like it was something that because that would make any man go crazy. You take pictures of that kid. You tell all your friends and family. You buying everything for that kid. That kid's on your health coverage. Everything. Kid has your name. Then to find out it may not be yours.
Yeah, I think a lot of brothers out here probably got kids that they think there was is there that is not. And you know, thank God for Maury Povich of the world, where brothers can find out ahead of time or afterwards, and you know, two or three times it turns out dudes aren't the father. The woman said that they
got to pay for.
And some dudes, depending on what state you live in, you can be held for child support even if they say that the kid wasn't yours. It's like a fact that you got to find out before a time runs out, or else you still got to end up paying. So, you know, who knows? That can make anybody go crazy.
And the thing was, also that story, they said they broke up before. He asked her to come back. The team was paying for counseling. And my thing is, if you got to get counseling paid for by somebody else, maybe time to just cut your losses and move on.
And there's a lot of questions, a lot of angles to this whole situation, because there's a whole lot of choices that have been made. In spite of facts, people decided to go by what they felt was right. And this situation is tragic, and sadly, this happens more often than we care to even discuss, because there's so many breaks of integrity to where someone is led to believe a lie. And then once they discover what it is, you never know how that person's going to react. They can react this way. They can do all kind of underhanded stuff, or they can just shut down. And so many instances. I mean, like, again, it's unfortunate that two people are gone. And someone's going to have to break it down to this little girl that your mom and dad are not here, or your mom is not here because of this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It is just madness. And then we look at all these things that take place. Everything. There was always a point where someone could have made a decision that didn't have to have all the collateral damage that we're discussing today and possibly further down the road. So it makes you wonder, where does it really end?
Hello?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, so I lost that quiet.
No.
I'm surprised no ladies called in today either. You know, wonder where the ladies are at today. But, yeah, you're right. It's just like this stuff going on. And the biggest loser out of all this is that little girl, because she doesn't have any parents.
Yeah.
Not a mom or a dad. Or whoever the real dad is, he's probably, yeah, I'm out of here myself. You know, it's a shame that's the biggest loser out of all this. That's how it mostly is. The children are usually the biggest losers.
Yeah. And that's what I was getting at. Because 9 times out of 10, this is what really happens when people play sandbox politics. You got so-called adults who make either emotive-based decisions or self-serving decisions. Because of what they want to have, just like kids. They want, all they want is want. They don't think about, you know, what comes with each decision. And Now you got kids who don't have mothers or fathers. You have, you know, this character, which will remain unmentioned, slaughtering 20-something kids, 6 adults. You have all this nonsense that's glorified now in places like Chicago and other areas like it's nothing. It mm-hmm. makes you question a lot of things.
I was watching the first 40 of my dad. I was visiting my dad one time. And it was in Florida. And of course, it's the hood. And the rival gangs in the neighborhood, they were like 2 blocks apart. They could look out the window and see each other's streets. And one kid got shot, 18 years old, just had a kid, all that stuff. The kid who shot him, he was making rap songs and posting on Facebook how he's going to kill the guy. And that just shows like how it is glorified out there. People are making light of this stuff. Then he also got, like, I forgot who was saying, like, you know, socially police each other, it was ape. The stop snitching culture. That's a big one in itself. Because you watch it, I love watching the first 48 because it's a microcosm of society. Where, like, the police be like, hey, get these people off the streets here. Nobody wants to say anything. But yet they want to complain that nothing's being done in neighborhoods. But yet the police start rounding up people, y'all mad. Instead of just saying the right person who did it, get them off the street. Your kid may be alive tomorrow night. Instead of being in a body bag if he just says something.
Yeah, I think the whole culture, man, has changed. You know, it's hard to even relate to what's going on with some of these young kids. You know, just how they, you know, just the simple stuff from walking around with your pants sagging to stuff like, you know, people say, you know, nigga this all the time. You know, out here in L.A., even the Hispanic people and even some of the Asian gangs or the Armenian gangs, they call each other nigga. Oh, my nigga this, my nigga this. It's like everybody's calling themselves niggas, whether blacks or not. And it's just a whole different generation. I can't even relate to these people. It's like I couldn't begin to think of a solution because my mentality is so far removed from their mentality that something that would be a solution for me probably wouldn't even work for them.
Man, I'm kind of at a loss of words for a minute. I don't know. I mean, how would you respond if it happened to you? You come home and you, not just going to school, but just like you get that phone call and tell them that your significant other, your child is not coming home. Or you have to identify a body. And seeing in this kind of reminds me of the time I was in, you know, the Marine Corps, and the friend, you know, actually, the guy I was teaching, like, he was my gunner, my A gunner, actually. He died in peacetime. Then, when he passed away from testicular cancer, the guys from my unit wouldn't let me see him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of takes me back to not just the value of life itself, but how much people have dismissed its worth nowadays. It's like now, aside from, you know, the family unit being fractured, now that everyone is more content with having pseudo friends online than actually in life, more people are hiding behind more masks than anything, and it's more glorified. It's like everyone is on this bullshit YOLO movement. When really, if that's the case, you should live it to the fullest. Not by doing stupid shit, but I'm just talking about, like, make it mean something. But why are you going to do all the things that you see done just to get on World Star Hip Hop or be a ghetto gagger or any of this foolishness just for one shred of attention? Not even 15 minutes, like 15 seconds of fame.
All for what?
They don't even mention your name. And the thing is, Ronan, they don't even mention your name on this video. Ghetto Gagger, they probably say it's a black ghetto bitch, nigger bitch, stuff like that. World Star Hip Hop, two thug niggas, whatever you want to say, fighting. They don't even mention your name. Your name not even out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, we become a society made, I mean, a society ran by media prostitutes. By any means, we get a key thrill of someone getting knocked out, someone getting put in an embarrassing situation. No sense of respect for personal space or yourself. Nothing. Just, it's an all-out 24/7 version of a Jackass channel. Don't know why. I mean, how it got here. I mean, I have an idea how we got here, but how in the hell did we get out? How?
I don't even know, man. Maybe that's a good question. Because you didn't even mention all the twerking and stuff that people do. All that, you know, they
mm-hmm.
they taking it to a, you know, another level. This I can't relate to this stuff. I can't relate to that. I can't. There's a lot of things that people do I just can't relate to. So I don't know how can I propose a solution for something I can't even understand.
You know what? The thing about twerking, I'll say this about that. One, black girls, you listening right now, those girls, you know, booty models that be in Smooth Magazine or in your local bathroom you see on Facebook, they don't get rich. They're not going to be in the Victoria's Secret runway wanting to bang Bieber. They're not going to be there. They are replaceable. Yeah, and it's like, so my thing is, you don't get rich off of that. You just another chick that just show your butt or you dance in front of the camera. The twerk team ain't rich. If they were getting paid, you think they'd be off of YouTube right now twerking around the country? You know, that right there shows you. Ain't all you doing is exploiting yourself, making yourself look foolish for free. At least porn stars get paid. You know, y'all doing it for free.
Yeah.
And that, it just boggles my mind, why would anyone do that? But I'll say this real quick. You're talking about your YOLO thing. This is what I tell people. You want to live only once, how about you get off your ass? Get that degree you always say you're going to get. Switch jobs. Move.
Right.
Do those things that you only live once because you don't got one opportunity to do that as well. You got to make what happened out of your life as well, because no one's going to hand you anything. Because the thing is, you may hate what Double Love has to say. He's right about us being in a system that's not for us. So why do we keep putting ourselves in position? And I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about something like dropping out of high school. Why you drop out of high school knowing that they don't give you a job anyway with a degree? So why you make it harder for yourself? You know, it's some of the things that I just don't understand about us.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I don't know. Just all this stuff is real sobering. Because it seems like every week, every day in, day out, whenever we talk about it on social media or amongst ourselves, it's like you get that feeling like, damn, my parents, what they taught me and what I'm on, I feel like a dinosaur.
It's accountability. It's accountability. And embarrassing the family name. Look at it this way. Nowadays, everybody else got a different last name. So how you embarrass a family name? Now, you remember you as a kid, you'd be like, hey, you get in more trouble if you acted up on somebody's house because you embarrass a family. Now it's, oh, my baby couldn't have done that. Oh, you lying on my kids. Oh, you just lying. It's like now, you remember back in the day, the worst thing you tell your kid, you go to school? You don't call your parents. They'll come to the school. Now, man, call my mom and daddy. I don't care. Look at how much, something as simple and as small as that, look at how it can manifest into something bigger.
Yeah.
We're going to bring in area code 661. 661, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Joe Necro again. I had a phone call. I had to drop off.
Hey, no problem, man.
Nick, what's up?
What's up, man? Smitty, man. Look, I ain't talking to you, man.
Oh, I know that voice sounded familiar, but hey, I'm sorry, but I don't like knowing men's voices like that now.
Yeah,
I
understand,
man.
I don't know. Yeah, I only know your voice because it's distinct, you know?
Yeah, try to call me country.
And you haven't put in your patented Roll Tide every now and again like you used to.
All right, give me a couple of weeks.
Oh, God. So, fellas,
I know. Mm-hmm.
What are your actual thoughts of, like, what we need to do? Not just as men, you know, as far as, like, each level, as far as men, women, children, socially, communal, everything. Don't do that.
Hey, so might as well say it. Notre Dame in trouble, dog.
Man, cut that country shit off.
Notre Dame in trouble.
Who's playing that music?
I don't know.
Don Quixote. I gave him that. Yeah. Hey, and I need Pittsburgh to cover this spread for me, too.
We're not even worried about that. But, like, again, like, you know, I pose a question out there. What is it that we need to do is not just men, but women, children, as a community? What's left of it?
Man, that's a good question. I'd say,
Shane.
Yeah, love one another, man. That's all you can do. Love one another.
I just say shame. There's no shame anymore. Did I say you got to knock somebody down for like 15 years? But there's no shame of embarrassing the family. No shame with doing anything out of pocket. Because like now, I'm not picking on a girl using an example. The girl's 15. She's pregnant on baby number two. She's having parties. You know? There's parties for this stuff. Or like dude got out of jail. Oh, we throwing him a big old barbecue, you know,
yeah.
Just stuff like that. There's no shame anymore. No one feels embarrassed that, hey, well, man, I embarrassed my family. Man, I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's just like, it like perfect example. Kids drop out of high school, they still living at home. My folks, if I drop out of high school, I'm out. They're kicking me out. And so that's the biggest thing. No one is ashamed. No one is afraid of embarrassing their families. That's first and foremost. And also, the truth. Tell kids the truth.
Yeah, that shame thing went out, you know, about the 70s or something. I don't even know that. How long, you know, that's been a while since people been, you know, trying to have honor in their family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Asians or stuff, people like that, that actually, you know, families have legacies and things are tied into, you know, businesses. And, you know, that's when shame, family shame works, when you're representing something. But today it's like we're not representing anything with our family. And then I think we're almost ashamed of being black, especially the women. So it's hard for, you know, people to actually honor the blackness or anything. I just, you know, shame is like, I usually would feel shame personally, like, you know, if some, like I said earlier, some murder or something was black, it was on the news, I'd be like, oh, no, why did the brother have to do that? But if it's a white dude, it's like, oh, okay. I just turn me in sometimes to see, make sure that wasn't a black dude. Okay, wasn't a black dude, I'm good.
Anyone else?
I talked already. I'm good. All I'm doing is popping these pills like Brett Favre was doing a couple years ago.
Mm. Yeah, it's just I don't know, man. You know, I tell you, after doing all these blog talk shows, man, and, you know, my whole opinion, I don't know, man. You know, we're living in some really weird times now. And somehow the black family is destroyed. It's not as cohesive as it used to be. We got men acting like women, or to put it more succinctly, acting like bitches. I don't know, man. You know, I don't know what to do. You know, I log on to Blog Talk sometimes and just look at the shows, and, you know, of the female shows, they're all screaming about how messed up men are, and woe is me, and this and that. And of the male shows, we're talking about sports and politics. So, you know, there's definitely something going on within the community that is deep and needs to be healed, man. I'm rambling right now, so forgive me. But there's some healing that needs to be done, man. You know, we got to come together, I guess, as a culture, and decide that we're going to love each other again, you know?
Well, I can agree with that. There is a dire need to heal out there. Instead of continue to kick and peel the scabs and complain about the pain felt by doing them, people need to learn how to communicate, open and honestly, more than anything. There's so many gaps when it comes to conversation. It's like, if you don't say anything that uplifts an individual without actually checking them on the foolishness they do, either you're bashing or it's like degrading behavior or speech or hate speech, whatever. It's like, we need more people to face themselves. And there's too many phonies out here demanding someone genuine. When you really don't produce an environment to obtain or sustain something of that caliber. Too materialistic. We don't even have the economic strength to actually have any say in anything. Because that's what gets your voice heard. If you got something they want and you have the backing, you know, as far as financially, yeah, people are going to listen to what you have to say. We don't even have that. We're the most... We're the most prolific spenders. Billions of dollars come out of our communities, and we don't have shit to show for it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then when we have, especially people of color, when we have black business, we don't even support the stuff. We either try to get a hookup or a discount, or when we don't even have the same practices that we do on each other to other places. Or you'll have, you know, women in the black community who will buy daycare and other things to be something they're not, and give money to other communities to be something superficial, not
standing alone. I got one to top all this. Now everybody loves talking about the liquor store, the pawn shop in the black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
They have nothing on cashing and title loan places. Those places, you talk about 400% interest. A lot of cases. Cause my friend's a manager of one. There are people that cash their paychecks there. I'm like, how the hell y'all can't get a checking account? You know? And so my mom was like, he probably writes too many bad checks and nobody would take them. So the thing is, look at how much money you're giving away that you're paying someone to cash a check. Or you talking about getting a title loan or what other checks or these payday advance places. Look how much money you're giving away. That, to me, that's the big one now.
Yeah.
It sounds like a business to go into, then, if you're trying to make
some
money.
Well, now the Native Americans are doing it. They got a commercial running with Rising Sun or something like that, or Sun something. Yeah, the Native Americans got into it. Yeah. You know, so they realize it's a cash cow, man. And I'm like, man, anytime the Native Americans can start making money off the black folks, not to knock my Native American brothers and sisters, but that should tell you that it's a pile on and everybody's trying to get some. You know, you kind of turn into the whole of the nation. And you're giving up booty to everybody. I mean, the Native Americans, I mean, what, they're what, 3-4% of the population, and they making money on us? Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? You know, I was just thinking of something. You know, I think one of the things that needs to happen is, and this is speaking directly to my sisters, they need to take back the power they once had. You know, when I think back to the 60s, we're never going to have the neighborhoods that we used to have. That's out. That's gone. That's all done. You can forget that. However, you can still keep the same mentalities and values that they had, meaning that, you know, if a dude ain't going to marry you, don't have kids from him. You know, if you find yourself in a situation where, you know, you have to be head of household, then push your children to be more than you are. Don't settle for them being less than you are. I mean, my mother was a nurse and worked long hours for me to go to school, me and my sisters to go to school and get hours. And she would accept no less. It's like, you messed up at school, boy? I had an ass whooping. So, you know, the whole thing is, you know, just pushing our culture forward instead of settling for, you know, for something a lot less or just settling, period. You know, sisters had power back then. My mother and her friends in the neighborhood ruled. If I messed up two blocks away, I had a beating waiting on me when I came home. So, you know, I mean, you know, this was before the internet, cell phones, World Star Hip Hop. They didn't need to see it on video. All they had to do was get on the phone and say, you know, that boy done messed up. You need to go ahead and deal with him when he gets home. I mean, I used to wonder, how the hell, you know, you know, you got ESP or something? Because I'd be coming home from school, which was five blocks away, and me and my friend said a curse word. I'll never forget. And my mom was waiting for me when I got home, four blocks later. Like, boy, I heard what you said. I'm like, there was nobody out there. How the hell you hear it? You know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
I think our whole neighborhood and family structure changed after the Bloods and the Crips and the welfare and the child support and all that stuff. Back before when we had more intact families, all that stuff could actually work. But
yeah.
I think that the overwhelming power structure of white people, for lack of a better term, to come in and really control the economics of the households, you know, the welfare and through child support and stuff like that, that, you know, that they don't have a community anymore.
Right.
It's like it just disappeared. It's still there in, like, image only in some areas, but not in actuality.
But, you know, I remember, like, you know, my mom getting commodity food, and each one of her friends got different commodity food, and they all get together and divvy it up and share it. I remember feeding my neighbors when they didn't have, when they, you know, their parents got laid off. You know, I mean, I remember doing things, you know, not so much as a physical community, but, you know, just banding together during tough times. But now they don't even do that, you know, very rarely, you know. So, I don't know.
You know one thing, though, I bring up, like, with convenient made to our old neighborhoods. This is the thing. I want to visit back home, visiting my hometown, whatever, and I'm glad I left Alabama. But anyway, this is the thing. There was one neighborhood I lived in about 20-something years ago. Most of those townhouses are condemned. Malls, like foliage, all the houses, some of the places don't even have a door. They just tore up. Someone spray painted Gucci red on one side of one of the houses. But then, like, where my old grandmother just stayed for it, and my grandparents stayed for they passed. Well, my aunties lived in this neighborhood. It's an older black neighborhood on way other side of town. But it's still quiet. It's still well kept. Because the people took care of the neighborhood. And they you don't hear all that crying. Because
right.
The people police their neighborhoods. And you got a grocery store not that far away, so there's no food barren either. So no food desert, my bad. So the thing is, we could at least police all the neighborhoods. We could keep that stuff out. If someone does something, you call the police, you get rid of that element. Because the thing is, you let that element stay in there, guess who it's going to affect? Your kids. That's who it's going to affect. And that's why, like, a lot of times people say they don't want to live in the hood, not because they want to be around black people. They just don't want to be around the BS that can affect their kids.
Yeah, I think that type of atmosphere really affected, you know, L.A. I think a lot of people from L.A. moved out to Phoenix, moved out to Vegas, because, you know, that type of neighborhood where the neighborhoods got taken over by, you know, that element, that nigga element, instead of used to be black, you know, the families, now it's a bunch of niggas and welfare women, and that just ruined the whole place, man. So, that's why it just disappeared, our black communities. It's not the way it was when, you know, grandma and father and stuff, everybody, it's not the same anymore. This culture is totally different.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, the glorification of the thug stuff.
Yeah.
it's that, and you know, pretty much the glorification of material assets. Like, the more you have, the more you're worth. When really, all those things cannot even measure up to like whatever substance you have within you, if it's genuine. But for some reason, more superficial person is or can be, that means that they get more attention, or they're held at a higher regard or esteem. And until we change that mindset, or these many mindsets out here, it's going to be very challenging from here on out. Especially when there's a possibility, well, actually I feel it's a certainty, that when the dollar loses its value, then we're really going to see what's really real.
I don't think the white folks is going to allow their stuff to go down. If it was so easy to crush the United States by messing up the dollar, somebody would have did that a long time ago. White folks going to protect theirs. You can guarantee that these billionaires ain't going to let nothing happen to their dollar.
Nope. The dollar already lost value a long time ago. It's now all funny money. It's funny money now.
Yeah, it's
funny money, but they're not gonna let it completely collapse without
no.
Fight. We know it's gonna collapse.
Yeah,
it's gonna collapse eventually.
I mean, if you look at what's being traded, we measure it in terms of dollars, but in actuality, it's just numbers on a spreadsheet. So it's all
funny money anyway.
Yeah,
real money is who got the power to enforce whatever it is we want to be enforced. And as far as the world need to, all they need to know is we still got the power to enforce whatever it is we want to enforce. So they don't like our money. They like a 50 drone missiles coming their way? No. Yeah. So they gonna like our money.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, basically what you're saying is the laws are backed by the gun.
Right,
in the United States and the world, the only reason why Britain, United States, and Israel are so powerful in enforcing their laws, because if you don't go by their laws and how they say it, they back it by the gun. And that's one of the reasons why some of us, especially the United States, are kept in check, because they know that if you get out of line, you get outside of this law, especially people of color, you get outside this law, we're going to enforce it. We're going to put this .38 in your brain, and we're going to put this Glock 9 in your chest.
Now we're going to roll a
tank and let you
out.
Know.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And you don't want satellites raining stuff down, or do you want internet access? Whatever it is, we can control it. Don't mess with us.
Yeah, ask your boy Gaddafi about that.
Anybody, but
your boy Gaddafi was trying to be independent of the international bankers. And that's one of the reasons they put his ass in 6 feet of dirt.
Well, look,
they didn't want him independent.
Yes,
sir.
One of the best-kept secrets in this country is a strategic petroleum reserve. If you guys have never heard of it, you need to look it up.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
We heard of it.
Yeah, it's in Louisiana. Anyway. They have 1 billion barrels of oil right now in the ground, all right? And meaning that the government took over these old salt mines from Morton Salt, and they figured out salt and oil don't mix. So they reconstructed them to hold oil. So they have a billion barrels of oil in the ground right now. And what that oil is for is if every Arab country cut off oil tomorrow, they can draw down that oil that's stored in Louisiana and Texas and run basically the military machine for about 30 to 45 days at full capacity. And they figured that is enough time for them to take over another oil-creating country, all right? And I used to work for them some years ago. When I read this, I was like, you got to be kidding me, right? No, they're very serious. You know, and this is why, you know, when they talk about, you know, all this oil stuff, there's a certain level of folks that are laughing because they know we got 1 billion barrels we're sitting on. And, you know, that's enough for them to go out and just literally take it from anybody they want. And they're very serious about that. You know,
I think all of us instinctively know that. And even the people in the rest of the world know that. They know that when the U.S. shows up to certain places, there's a difference. There's a reason why they show up in one part of the world instead of the other. It's like they come in here to install their puppet regime so they can continue to get oil for another 20 years or whatever they need to do. It's, you know, everybody know that.
I was in the Middle East. Like, they'll ask the Middle Easterners, they really talk to the black guys. Talk to black people more than the white guys. And same as this Iraqi cab driver had when I got out the airport the other day. You know, it was telling me about how it really going on about oil. They talking about, yeah, it's about oil. They really give you the inside scoop, stuff you won't see on CNN or Fox News, because those people are there. And my opinion of all this is, who the hell are we to tell somebody how to run their country? But back on topic, people.
It's the same people telling them how to run the ghetto.
Yeah.
Or running the ghetto.
Yeah, now it's this prison industrial complex. You know, one of the things we had on our show the other night is we talked about how this prison industrial complex is set up.
Oh, yeah.
Here's an interesting part about this country that cracks me up. They don't do anything really, you know, undercover. You know, they kind of really put their plan right out there in front of you. You know, they kind of really say, hey, look, this is the plan that we're doing, because nobody reads. And so, you know, they they don't care. Yeah, so it's like, hey, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to broadcast this plan. You know, oh, okay, you guys aren't reading, no problem. And then they go about going, you know, about their business of doing it. And so, you know, that's a really weird thing about this country. If you pay attention to the details, you can see what's happening. But most people are so consumed with what Puffy is wearing, what he buys his son, Blue Ivy is wearing, that they don't even see the plan in front of them, man. I mean, you know, come on, man.
Hey, Joe, you know what, man? Man, what a lot of people were saying was that, I think that was Joe speaking, a lot of people know these states are getting funding from these private companies, and they got to have these beds at 90% capacity. And meaning that you guys ain't paying child support, DUIs. I know in California, these people get like 200 stops a day. Mm-hmm. They try to get people, fill these places up, domestic violence, all the stuff that affects men, especially black men.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, what y'all are talking about, also the stuff, think about this. These guys are wide, like you said, the politicians, they're wide open. Like John Boehner, these guys, they're wide open what they want to do politically. But what do we fight about? Gay marriage, abortion, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get wrong, I ain't knocking none of it. But none of that going to help me get a job.
Right.
You know? And that, and see, that's what we care about the most. Because like when Mitt Romney was at debate with Obama, what did everybody take away? Big Bird. Oh, the single mom line. Not about his policies. Not about what he wants to do. But it's that stuff that people really care about the most. But then they want to complain about something later. No, they are putting their plans out there wide open.
Yeah. But here's the part I just don't get. Good. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, but it all boils down to people paying attention to what's going on. The masses that are being led like sheep don't get that. But the smarter ones among us can see it for what it is. And when we speak out about it, especially when you speak out about President Obama, you get so much flack, especially from black people. I never heard so many people being called a traitor, a sellout. Why are you hating on the president? There's something wrong with you. You can't be criticizing him, and you can't ask him for nothing. Even though we re-elected him, you can't ask him for not a damn thing.
Hold on, a terrible.
Al Sharpton said that. And it's like, well, damn. Well, you damn if you do, and you damn if you don't.
Right. You know why, right? You know, because he made the picture. See, used to be back in the day, I don't know how old you are, but you had that picture. It had JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King. Everybody's grandmother had that on the wall.
Oh, yeah,
so. And now Obama's got added to that picture, man. He's deified. The old ladies will beat you down with them walkers, man. Don't talk about the Obama, man.
Hey, I got a question for y'all. I got one for y'all. Man, so this one group for me on Facebook, everybody got mad at me. Got now everybody talking about, well, Michelle Obama runs. I'm like, one, can the man be re-inaugurating office good first?
before he tries to take his spot. And I said, okay. I said, no disrespect to the woman, but what has she done besides be married to the president? You know, at least Barack was a senator. At least Hillary was a senator. At least they did some time in public office. But it's like I spoke out against that. Everybody's mad at me.
Yeah, women are emotional thinkers, man. They don't think logically. They just see all the emotion of Michelle Obama being president. They don't really think about it, you know, strategically. Can she, you know, has she earned the right? And they just think she earned it because she's this supposedly
marriage.
Powerful, yeah, this powerful black woman. So she earned it.
The first lady's irrelevant. Let's just be honest here, people. The first lady's irrelevant. The most time, the first lady's there for it. So, hey, he's married. He has family values.
And you're not gay. Yep.
Pretty much is all it is.
What they're going to say is, though, that she sacrificed and carried him when he was going through school.
Right. So,
with
that being said, I mean, like, we have 3 minutes and 50 seconds left. I was wondering, each of you, what would you suggest to the teens and, you know, mothers and fathers that they can do for themselves in these crazy times to best assure that, you know, things would be a lot better, bring yourselves a lot closer?
I'll go first. I would say stop hanging around crazy people because that crazy thing is contagious. Watch who you listen to for spiritual advice, and just keep on pushing, man. It might look grim at times, but we can make it better for our next generation if we just keep on trying. Don't give up.
I say have dinner together again. I used to have dinner with my family every Sunday. It was the best thing, and I miss it now. We've gotten so spread out. We don't even sit and talk to each other. Turn off the TV and sit and look at each other, share a meal, and talk.
I like that.
Get to know your kids. The thing is that my thing is I don't believe in that whole BS line talking about you don't know no better, because ignorance is no excuse. You have to know. You have to want to know. And I just feel like that, hey, if your parents didn't give you something growing up, be better than them. Want better. If you don't know how about going about doing it, look at that tablet you have. Look at that MP3 player you have probably, your Facebook or whatever, Google. You can find out. You can find information. And the thing is, you could do better. Just because you got two threes in your hand, and the dealer got 19, that's me, still can't beat him. You have to want to make it happen in life out here, people. That's what I'm saying. And that you have to, I'm trying to say this real quick, I'm trying to put it right together. You're going to have to sometimes leave your hometown. Sometimes get your family PO'd at you. Sometimes you got to do what's best for you because it's your life. And sometimes you may not be that popular person in your family, but you have to do what's best. And I think that's all I have. And Roll Tide.
There you go.
Well, I would like to say, as far as with the children and parents, pick up those pieces that's been fractured from the family unit. Learn how to do a lot more things together. Learn how to read together. Share each other's experiences so that way you can learn from each other. You know, just tighten up as far as with the unit. That's the most important power block in a community. You know, there's much more that we're going to have next week because we may have continuance on this. But I want to thank the gentlemen on the show for your input. It's most valued. It's been a pleasure. Plus, it's always cool to learn from y'all. And we're about to take it out in a few seconds. So, gotta say goodbye to the people.
All right, peace.